you have beautiful mass in a 13th, 14th century cathedral, and then you go for a pop after. Does it get better than that, Robert? Welcome to the Pints and Pews podcast. I'm your co-host, Dennis.
And I'm your other co-host, Robert. And we're just a couple of guys talking the Catholic faith over a pint or two of our favorite beers.
So why don't you pour yourself a pint, pull up a chair, and listen in for the next little while.
As we take the faith seriously, but not necessarily ourselves.
And as always, if you want to take part in the conversation or have an idea for the podcast, leave us a comment or swing by our Facebook page and drop us a message.
Dennis, buddy, how are you doing this evening?
Busy, Robert. It was a busy day, was it not?
Oh, more than you can imagine, my friend. And you were there, so you can imagine a lot about how busy it was.
Yeah, it went well today, that's for sure.
A bit busy day, but very, very blessed.
Yes, very,
very, very blessed day. I was, as crazy busy as it was, and I will apologize to you here on air so that our listeners are witnesses to my apology for kind of barking at you this morning, but I was wound up
tighter
than a cuckoo clock.
Yeah, but everything turned out well, and that was a beautiful day for the RCIA, the elect today at the church.
Yeah, so just to let our listeners in, we had the retreat for our RCIA elect. Here we are the Saturday before Holy Week, the Saturday before Palm Sunday, and our pastor, Father Chris, ran a retreat for our elect to get them ready for Holy Week, to get them ready to come into the faith. Absolutely beautiful. And I couldn't have pulled the logistics off without you, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
Texting me at 7:30 in the morning. Are you on the road yet? When are you going to be here?
I forgot you might phone, but I wasn't really looking for the phone. I was looking for the text because people mostly text nowadays. Robert,
but that's how scrambling I was. It's like, I don't have time to text. Everything turned out well. From the car.
Yeah. Father did a great job. And I think that period of silence for most of the day was really, really well received.
The world needs silence.
Mm-hmm.
The world needs silence. And Father set the tone for that early when he talked about, when God speaks to us, it's not in a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. God comes to us in the whisper of the gentle breeze, and he whispers to our heart. And I think people appreciate when not just being given the opportunity to disconnect, but almost being forced to disconnect. Sometimes we just need that excuse. We desire to disconnect from the world, but we just don't know how to extricate ourselves. And we just need that excuse to get out of that and to be able to say, no, I'm on retreat for a day. I can't answer my phone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know what? We began with the mass. So most of the elect were able to make the mass. And he talked about fear in his homily. One of the biggest obstacles to embracing more of a faithful life is fear. I guess fear that, and he mentions that that we might have our comforts taken away, or that God might ask us to do something that we're not comfortable to do. And I thought that I never thought of fear as being one of those big obstacles, but I think absolutely it is. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I know myself oftentimes in the confessional, and since I'm the penitent, it's not breaking the seal of the confessional, but oftentimes myself in confession, one of the things I will confess is that I did not step up to defend the faith out of fear for my own reputation, right? Or I did not share the whole truth out of fear of my reputation or out of fear of conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as we were talking about this during the retreat today, I began thinking, people talk about bravery and courage, and bravery and courage is not the absence of fear. Bravery and courage is overcoming our fears.
Right.
And so we're called to be courageous. We're called to be brave, to overcome our fears. And the only way we can do this, and I think Father tied it in quite nicely at the end when he was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the ways we can have the courage to overcome our fears is with the fortitude that the Holy Spirit gives us.
Right. Perseverance and fortitude. Yeah, he did tie those seven gifts of the Holy Spirit in quite nicely.
So I thought that was very beautiful. And now that you've kind of stolen my shout outs for the end of the show, because I was going to mention the RCIA elect and the RCIA team, that'll just give more room for you to give shout outs at the end of the show there, buddy.
Oh, geez, I have to think of a couple now, Robert. I've got time. But no, it was a great day. It was a great day, and we got everything done, and it ended well. Yeah, I think so. I think the candidates went home with a lot, and then we've got a really good group, don't we, Robert?
Oh, 100%. It's been candidates, such a blessing to work with them through this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, buddy, enough chit-chat. I'm getting a little bit thirsty, but I say what that just before we get into our beers, and again, that's coming back to my shout-out for you. But before we get into our beers, I wanted to make a little announcement. I started doing a little bit of work on, not on rebranding the Pints and Pews, but rebranding the social media. So I actually set up a new X account. I said the platform formerly known as Twitter. I actually set up a new account so our listeners can follow us at Pints and Pews on that. If you're so inclined, if you're out there in the Twitter sphere, in the X sphere, or whatever you want to call it.
Did you ask Elon Musk if you could set up a new account?
Sending me all kinds of stuff.
Does he really? I wonder if he listens. Did you call it Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter? Why do we keep saying formerly known as Twitter? Everybody says that, but really X has been, and I'm not even on social media, but everybody knows that X is formerly Twitter, but we still do it.
I say it because it reminds me from back in the day where there was the artist formerly known as Prince.
That's right. I remember that.
And that's the only reason why I say it.
So at Pints and Pews, that's it.
That's it.
Does that have a little bird? It's just got an X now beside it, I suppose.
It's like the Roman numeral.
Yeah, the X. But you know what? I don't like, you know, the problem with X now, and I go on to sometimes, I'll go on and it won't let me on. Whereas before I could go on and not have to sign in or have to be part of Twitter. And I could go on and just look at somebody's Twitter account. Now I can't. So I may be one of these days in retirement, I'll get onto Instagram and Twitter. What do you think? Never too late, Robert.
It's never too late. Part of me says stay away, but the other part of me, again, like Father was saying, as Christians, we're called to go out. We're called to go forth. And that's the new frontier, isn't it?
I know.
That's the new evangelization territory. So,
and there's so many great Catholics like doing a lot of things. Yeah, that's for sure. We do need more good Catholics on there.
Amen. Amen. And so, wanted to talk about our beers here too, as we keep rolling around along here. And I have to say, this is my second shout out to you today.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe we better end this episode quickly because it's just going to melt down. Probably. And so we're going to be talking about it in a little bit. You were back in Belgium.
I was back in Belgium. I was back in Belgium and Paris in the March break, spring break to our American listeners, I guess, hey, Robert?
And while you were in Belgium, you were visiting your son who lives in the wonderful city of Antwerp.
Antwerp, yes.
And you were at the cathedral?
I was at the cathedral. Now, I wasn't even planning that because I had gone to the previous Sunday Mass at the Abbey in Brussels. One of your favorite places. You actually tipped me off. Yes, you tipped me off to it last time. Probably one of my favorite churches in all Brussels. I mean, we'll get into that later when you ask me what my favorite church is. But so I was just going to come home on Sunday, on St. Patrick's Day, and just go to 7 p.m. at St. Bernadette's. But then I found out that the cathedral mass was in English on the Saturday vigil at 5:30.
Okay, let's just cut to the chase. You were at the cathedral because you know that they have a beer bar.
Well, I think, yes, I did. You told me, and Matthew, when we were there, told me, but he said it's only open after the 11 a.m. mass.
Do you think maybe we should talk to Father Chris and we could maybe get more people in the pews if we were to open up a beer bar?
Absolutely. So I think it was because we had this beautiful choir orchestra from New Jersey, did a magnificent job at that 5:30, and then he says, come back to the Kleep. I can't pronounce it, Robert. I don't know what the proper term is there, but we did. We go right behind the apse. Am I pronouncing that right?
Sounds about right.
Just to the right, and there you go, and you're walking into a little pub with some nice chairs and some beers, and I mean, you have beautiful mass in a 13th, 14th century cathedral, and then you go for a pop after. Does it get better than that, Robert?
God is good, my friend. God is good.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that's what we're drinking today. So you brought home for me a couple of these. It was a very beautiful gift set. And our listeners who are on Facebook or on X or on the Instagram have seen a picture of the gift pack because I put it together and I put that out there. Mm-hmm. You brought back for me this beautiful gift pack that has a blonde and a brune.
It does. A blonde and a dark beer. And a dark beer.
Along with the glass. It wasn't originally supposed to be a gift. It wasn't going to be a gift.
I was WhatsApping you saying, and of course I went up and asked, I said, can we take some of this beer? Because I think my son or my wife mentioned you, see if we can get some of this beer to take home. And she says, yes, a gift pack, two beautiful beers in a glass will be 30 euros. So I was texting you and saying, it's 30 euros. Are you okay with coughing up 30 euros? So then when I went back to purchase two, she says it was 13 euros each. So then I said, it became a gift, which wasn't a gift, became a gift.
Yeah, you had a little difficulty there with the Flemish accents between, yes. 30 and 13.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Sounds pretty much the same.
So it wasn't on tap. I guess they were all bottled. I'm assuming, well, I know that they did pour me a bottled beer, and obviously I brought you back bottled. But yeah, I do. I guess they get a special brewer made. They do the because the labels are really nice too, aren't they, Robert?
Well, absolutely gorgeous. These ones won't be going in the recycling bin.
No, mine's 7.7. Yours is?
Mine is also 7.7.
Okay, same. Yeah.
So for myself, from the Cathedral beer, from the Our Lady, the Cathedral of Our Lady in Antwerp, I will be having the Memento Dark.
Okay.
And it's called Memento because it comes from Memento Mori. Remember your death. Remember that you have to die.
I love that.
And isn't on that, the box, it says, don't be startled by this centuries-old call for reflection upon the cycle of life and death. It is exactly what the monk above the main entrance of the cathedral invites you to do. Have a moment of introspection while savoring our cathedral dark with a touch of the grains of paradise. And at 7.7%, I think there will be a lot of introspection by the time this one is done.
That's great. Yeah, what a great thing. I love that model, too. And remember that you have to die.
Mm-hmm. What one are you going to drink then? If I'm having the Memento Dark, sir, you're going to have?
I'm having the Aurora, which is, of course, from the Latin for dawn. Brewed with care and dedication, our cathedral blonde was named Aurora in the Chapel of Dawn in Our Lady's Cathedral East Wing. It represents light after dark as a symbol of love and compassion. The aroma stems from Aurora hops and a selection of spices with a crisp bite of tenacious pilgrim hops. And the box, of course, is beautiful. We're paired with the.
Oh, that's absolutely gorgeous.
It almost looks like the Trillium in Ontario.
It looks like the stone lacework for the Trinity, like the three leaf Trillium and the three leaf clover.
You want to talk about a beautiful cathedral? I mean, boy, all these little side chapels as you go around the apse at the back of the altar. Beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely gorgeous. So why don't you say grace before beer for us, sir, so we can take our first sip?
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Bless, O Lord, this creature beer, which thou hast deigned to produce from the fat of grain, that it may be a salutary remedy to the human race, and grant, through the invocation of thy holy name, that whoever shall drink it may gain health in body and peace in soul, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Cheers, Robert.
Cheers, my friend.
The glass is a little small, but what are you going to do? Oh, that's good.
Oh,
boy.
How good is that? That is nice.
And that's the reason why I didn't give up beer this Lent, Robert. Maybe next Lent. But
that's the reason why it's 30 euros.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is something else. That was beautiful.
That was so good.
That's worth the drive to Antwerp.
This is the worth the drive to. Have you been to Antwerp, Robert?
I've been to Antwerp once.
Okay, you did go when you were living there,
and
right?
And that was way back in the day, so that's got to be close to 30 years ago now that I was there. Belgium Revisited, my friend. You were there for about 10 days.
Yeah, about 10 days.
Holidays. And so I wanted to ask you, because there is a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of envy in there. like you said, you met up with my buddy there, and yeah, I'd love to get back to see him. My son was living with him last summer for
That's
a few
right.
weeks.
Yeah, he mentioned that. Yeah,
living the life and you know, great time. So I'd love to get back there. But okay, pal, you were back in Belgium. Some questions for you, and we'll start at the slow end.
Put me on the hot seat here.
What would be a low light? What was maybe the biggest disappointment of the trip or the hardest part?
I think I don't want to say it's a low light.
To drink all that beer.
Never enough time to drink all that beer. But I think it was just we did a lot in a short period of time, so we were constantly on the go, and not so much in Belgium, Robert, but the crowds were still very big in Paris. So that wasn't, and the constant reminder to keep your goods, beware of pickpockets, especially in Paris and stuff. So that was a little bit disappointing that you always have to be on your guard for that, but not too many low lives,
just the two of us. You mentioned that, and you're talking about the crowds in Paris, and my son said the same thing, and he mm-hmm. was there in the height of summer.
Oh.
And he said it was to the point where it was overwhelming.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. And the heat too. No, yeah. I couldn't have done it.
And the pictures he sent both of Paris and of Amsterdam when he was there. And there's just the crowds and all of the people
crowds
that are there. And I would say that's almost a highlight of Belgium, of Brussels and Antwerp. Mm-hmm. Bruges gets busy itself.
It does.
But they're not necessarily the main whistle stops on the bus tours of Europe.
They're not. And right. Antwerp's was much better. Bruges, yes. Bruges we didn't get to this time, but absolutely. Brussels is not that as touristy as you mentioned. And it's a great just to walk around downtown, which we did. We popped into a couple of churches in all the cities that you mentioned. But again, Robert, we're getting back to the, you know, which church did you? Well, it's very difficult to say because a lot of them, the tourists are in there snapping pictures. And that's why I really love that Abbey and that part where we were in the hotel and near the hotel in Brussels, is because it's so off the beaten path.
Well, that's just it. As you were saying that, I think that when we are going on these kind of tours mm-hmm. and you are visiting, you know, these churches and they're beautiful. And of course you want to take pictures. Mm. And again, my friend Didier, you know, once every couple of weeks, I'm getting pictures of the different church that he's in. Mm. He recently sent me pictures of Grimbergen, which is just on the north side of Brussels. And our beer drinking listeners out there would have heard of Grimbergen because there's an abbey there that brews a beautiful dark beer there itself. And it's getting to these places that are off the beaten path that you can actually enjoy them mm-hmm. and you can enjoy the architecture. You can enjoy the sacred space. Right. And you've mentioned a couple of times the Abbey de la Cambre, which I would have walked by when I was there as a student. But as a 21-year-old, I was more into the pints than the pews.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Beautiful gardens there. But that's an excellent point, because we said next time we go, please God, we'll hire a car and we've seen all the major tour spots. Now we'll go out of, you know, out of the city maybe, or go to different spots, or just visit neighborhoods, go for walks. We don't have to do the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame, which was closed, and Montmartre, Sacre Coeur.
Yeah,
that was beautiful.
Again, it's hitting those out of the way places that usually end up being the highlights mm-hmm. Of the visit. So that's my next question for you. What was a highlight of your time in Belgium?
I think we'd like the Louvre was beautiful. I preferred the Louvre because
the Louvre is not in Belgium, my friend.
That's Paris. Belgium. I'm in Paris. Yeah. Brussels. Well, your friend Didier put us to an older part of Brussels where there was antique markets, and the name is escaping me. And I want to say the Sablon. Oui.
Yes. Le Petit Sablon.
That was a really nice little area down there with all the little antique markets. There must have been, every other shop was an antique, and then there was a big open air antique market. So that was nice because we hadn't seen that last time. So that was beautiful. And we went, we stayed in the same hotel, just a little ways from downtown. So that was where Kira had gone to school, close to where Kira had gone to school there 2 years ago.
Do they still have my statue as the first foreign exchange student at the ULB at in Brussels?
We didn't get by the UL. No, we were close to it. We didn't.
You
go
didn't
by
see my statue?
No, no statue there, Robert.
Come on.
But just jumping on the metro and the trams.
The bric-a-brac markets are absolutely fantastic, and you can find all kinds of great
things. You can find anything in those markets, Robert.
And then sometimes, too, in those little markets, you can find the best sacramentals, little statues of the faith or prayer cards and pictures. And then you can find such beautiful artwork that is geared to the faith.
The incredible artwork, even in the museums, and especially when we went to Paris, the artwork, the religious themes of the artwork by the masters, Robert, it's incredible. It's just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous.
That. Time for another trip.
Amen to that. I'm getting the itch. Getting the itch.
Well, you're getting the itch. You're going to do California in a few months, so that'll be quite exciting.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that, going to California. We'll talk more again afterwards. One of the things I'm looking forward to in California is getting to some of the mission churches and the mission abbeys from St. Juniper Serra.
That's right. We're talking 1700s here, aren't we, Robert?
Yeah, about the time you hit kindergarten, right?
It won't be too hot in California in late June. It should be fine.
From what we're hearing from my brother-in-law, it's always beautiful in California.
Go to Northern California. It might be a little bit cooler. You're just doing the south, right?
Just in the LA? South. Just in the south. So, again, while you were in Belgium, buddy, your best pint experience.
This cathedral probably was up there for sure.
And to drink this beer in those surroundings, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have to be it. Like, just to go back there and have this. And I didn't know what it was going to be like because, you know, it's in a bottle and we prefer the tap. But it was...
You think like, okay, it's a cathedral beer. Is it just brewed to be kitschy? So it's, you know, people want it because it's from the cathedral, not because it's good.
Right.
Well, people are going to want this because it's good. And then the cathedral is the added bonus. Were you able to take your glass and walk around the cathedral while you were having your beer?
No.
Or did you have to stay within the confines?
You had to stay within the confines. Yeah, I don't know if they would have maybe, they probably would have allowed you to walk out because you could kind of do it. You know, you can drink on the street. There was another beer we had in the first day in Brussels at this little hamburger joint down the hotel, and it was another pint Trinity, and that was a really nice pint as well with a great name.
I've never heard of that one.
I think it was a little
Trinity. It must have been heavenly if it was called Trinity.
It was a great drop, but there were so many. You know that, Robert, when you're going to these places, and especially in Brussels, they don't do many bad beers, do they?
There's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the beer in Belgium. And we know the big names, like, you know, Stella and Leff, right? And to a certain degree, Duvel.
Right?
I always remember we were walking around downtown Toronto with a couple who were from Antwerp, actually, of all places. We had met them in Quebec City, and then they stayed with us, and we took them around Toronto. And I pointed to a billboard of Stella Artois. I said, oh, look, like there's Stella Belgian beer. And the guy's like, yeah, that's garbage.
Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't go as far maybe to say that, but it's funny. We did walk by a few pubs along the way, and I don't know if we were in Antwerp or Brussels. And, you know, there's your top beers, €4, €4 for 330 CLs. And then your Leff is $3 for three. And then your Stella $2.50. So it was the bottom price range, which here it's the top price range, right? It's funny.
Oh, exactly. And then so it just, it takes us aback when we're over there.
Yeah. So I didn't even have a Stella over there.
I know they used to have it. I don't know if they still do. If they did, you probably would have mentioned it. They used to have a beer garden at the Abbey de la Cambre.
They did not.
They did. They used to have a beer garden there. But I think it closed a couple of years. Pre-pandemic, it closed down, maybe.
Oh, boy, that would have been perfect because it's just right in the heart of the city, but it's just this little oasis. And it was packed the last day we left Brussels. It was a beautiful morning, and it was absolutely packed. People walking their dogs, not picking their dogs' business up in many cases, but that's another story for Europe.
That's Brussels for you. I mean, that's why at the doorway to the house where I was living, and if you'll notice this actually in Belgium, if you pay attention to it, beside the doors of all of the houses within the city, there's like a little metal scraper so you can scrape the dog poop off your shoes before you go in the house.
Okay, you have
to look for it. You have to know what you're looking for, but they actually have a poo scraper for your shoes before you go in the house.
That's cool.
Right.
And you sent me the little Audrey Hepburn. We did go by her place of birth there before we left as well. There's just a little marker up there.
Yeah, little known fact. Audrey Hepburn was born in Ixelles.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just outside of the core of Brussels. You would say it's pretty much downtown Brussels.
But it's a little, so we walked to it. We had a good walk to it. And then we went, then we came back for dinner into Ixelles.
And I don't know the name of it. You'd have to look it up online. But Audrey Hepburn starred in a movie as a nun in Belgium. And who then did missionary work in the Congo and then was back in Belgium. Great movie, Breakfast at Tiffany's. No, it wasn't Breakfast at Tiffany's.
No, right. I know it wasn't
Breakfast. It was Breakfast at Falstaff. But only my university buddies in Brussels would know about Breakfast at Falstaff.
Breakfast at Falstaff,
just off the Grand Place. That's where you went after you're in the nightclubs all night.
You had breakfast at the pub.
But that movie with Audrey Hepburn was amazing. It was excellent. My wife still talks about it to this day. I can't remember off the top of my head the title of it, but if you were to look up the movies that Audrey Hepburn was in, and there's one where she does play the role of a nun. And it's a great insight into religious life pre-Vatican II. As well. So it was quite interesting.
Yeah, she was quite the lady too. She did a lot of charitable work, didn't she, before she passed away at an early age. But just to leave, just to quickly finish up, Robert, I'm telling you right now, there's something about that European life. And I don't know if we work too hard in North America or we live to work, but they certainly know how to enjoy life and they take their time and they like their meals and their drink and nobody's getting silly, but it just seems like they just go a step slower in Europe. Would you agree?
I would agree 100%. And like you said, here in North America, we tend to live to work. Where over in Europe, they tend to work to live.
Absolutely.
Like they do work hard, but it's to be able to enjoy the finer things in life.
Yeah.
And just slowing down and taking the time to be introspective, memento mori. Remember that you will die and that one day you will no longer be here in this great creation that God has provided us with.
Right.
So sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy. And the two masses I attended, the two Sundays, they were pretty well attended. So,
thanks be to God because that's
good.
Not normal for Belgium, I don't think.
Except one in Brussels there. The couple coming in with the baby and the stroller just cut off the priest as he's processing up the aisle for mass, but that's another story.
That's a story for another day. I was going to have this one last question for you. Your best pews experience. So you had your best pint experience. What was your best pews experience? You've talked to Abbey de la Cambre, the cathedral in Antwerp.
Yeah, how can you not love those cathedrals? I mean, how did they build them 600 years ago? But I think the Abbey de la Cambre, just for there happened to be a children's choir in there practicing, I guess, from a local school when we went in there on a weekday morning, and it was completely empty. There were no tourists to be seen anywhere. That alone is something, right? Whereas you go into the other ones like Sacré-Cœur in Montmartre. Am I pronouncing that right, Robert?
Yeah, and then you got to have your elbows out. It's like a rugby match.
Yeah, everybody's got their... And there was a beautiful church in Antwerp as well. Obviously, there's a cathedral, but we went into St. Charles Borromeo. I went into and took the tour of that. It was a Jesuit church from the 1600s. That was absolutely beautiful. And they had Peter Paul Rubens on the ceiling, and they were destroyed in a fire, but there were still some around the altar and the sides and stuff. Imagine having these great masters on the... We have those in Ajax and Port Perry, don't we?
The only master I know in Ajax is yourself, sir.
Maybe
that's the other blessing, though, when you're visiting these churches in Europe, is you can walk into this nondescript, kind of no-name church in a far-flung suburb, and you walk in there, and there's a Rembrandt.
Absolutely.
Right?
And we were talking about those because... They didn't have museums back then, Robert. So somebody was telling me that's what they were commissioned for these churches. in the 1600s and 1700s, because they weren't going to be put in a museum. There was no such thing. Unless you were very wealthy, you might put it in a home, but these things were huge. So they ended up in churches. It's beautiful. And just a final thing on that, Robert, beautiful churches, obviously the beer is great, but we ended up in this printing press museum in Antwerp. And that was probably one of the highlights of my tour. And we had to touch, and we could see the oldest printing presses in the world were there. And really a lot of this printing got really busy during the Counter-Reformation. It was, you know, mostly Catholic stuff that they were putting out and stuff. It was quite fascinating. You'll have to go there.
So again, it was a trip back to your childhood when, you know, you got the very first Bible that ever came off the press, right? You and Gutenberg were like this, like two peas in a pod.
For me, I was taking them right from the monks as they were writing them out. It was just before the Gutenberg and the printing press.
So, Dennis, buddy, do you have a saintly saying? Like, you're talking about all of these visits to these beautiful churches that you're at. You must have a saintly saying, a saint quote to share with us.
I should have brought one in French, though, Robert, don't you think? Now, I don't know if I told you to keep reminding me which ones I do, because I'm getting a little old.
That's disappearing faster than your hairline is your memory there, my friend.
Oh, my God, look at that hairline. I think you quoted St. John Vianney today.
I mentioned the retreat. Him or paraphrase, but it wasn't a direct quote.
Okay, no. You did paraphrase. So hopefully I didn't mention him last time, because I got a really good one from him. If I did, I'll just jump to the next one. The saints did not all begin well, but they ended well.
So there's hope for us.
I think that's a great quote, Robert, because it means that all of us, even those who are, we were all there together today at the retreat, we've all got our pasts. But there's always hope and there's always future, right?
Yeah.
And the saints did not all begin well, but they ended well.
And as Father Chris was talking about today, too, like, our faith is a journey, and it's a journey of discovery.
Absolutely.
And discovering who we are and realizing that, where we're starting from is probably not the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But if we keep our eyes on the prize,
yeah,
it will end well.
Yeah.
It will,
and that's so important too, Robert, to remember that even as we get a little bit older, especially yourself, that it's never too late. It's never too late to join the IRCIA in your church. And how much did I learn in the last 6 months from these 10 candidates that have come through the program? Such a great Tuesday nights.
And when Dennis says it's not too late to join the IRCIA, and you know, our listeners are there, well, I'm already Catholic. Yeah. Why should I be joining the IRCIA? No, I think what Dennis is saying here, mm-hmm. is volunteer to help out at the RCIA, because you are going to learn so much in that process, right?
It's incredible. Well, you've talked about that before, like an RCIA program for Credo Catholics, because I think we all get a little bit, I don't know if stale is the proper word, or bear, maybe a little bit comfortable. And certainly Father talked about comforts in his homily today, but certainly we've, you know, got to do something to revitalize the faith sometimes for some of us, speaking for myself, and certainly this helped this year being part of this program.
Yeah. And coming back to your quote there, you mm-hmm. can just repeat it again.
Yeah, one more time.
St. John Vianney,
which was a French parish priest, right?
Yeah. I've actually been to Ars. Oh. I've been to, and if you're ever in the Lyon area of France, in central France, get to Ars, get to see, you can see the home of St. John Vianney, the church that he had built there. He's lying there incorrupt.
How far was that been from Paris, Robert?
From Paris, you're about 400 or 500 kilometers.
Oh, okay, so it would have been quite the trek.
So it is a trek from Paris. No, from Lyon, maybe a half hour drive north of Lyon. Okay. I know it's 10 kilometers from Villefranche, which is the capital city of Beaujolais, the wine region Beaujolais, which is where my friends are. And it's amazing too, where the last time we were there, Ellie and I said, well, we'd like to go to Ars and see St. John Vianney. And our friends who have lived, I don't know, 30, 40 years, 10 kilometers away, had never been there.
Is that the case with a lot of places, right?
Yeah, and it's not really a touristy destination.
Yeah, which is great. All the more reason to go.
But the coolest part for me,
right,
is you could visit the rectory. The coolest part for me is you could actually see the scorch marks on St. Jean Vianney's bed where the devil lit his bed on fire while he was sleeping.
Wow.
Right? Like, how cool is that?
That is very cool. That sounds a lot like Padre Pio wrestling with the devil in his room. The saints did not all begin well, but they ended well. And that's just, that's why I love the saints so much, Robert. And, you know, we read them every day in class, is because they all have these checkered paths, but they just all ended well, didn't they?
Yeah. And that reminds me, there's another quote, and I can't remember the saint who said this, but it's, you know, every saint has a past, yeah, but every sinner has a future.
That's absolutely right. Right. And we're all sinners in the end.
And so again, like I said, when you came out with this, there's hope for us yet.
There's hope, 100% hope. Great. What about you? What do you got on the go today?
One of your favorites, you came out with a quote from one of my favorites, Saint Jean Vianney. Mm-hmm. I have a quote here from one of your favorites, Saint Padre Pio.
Padre Pio.
Right.
I love Padre Pio. Still on my car.
And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, how much did I need this quote this morning? Mm. And when I read it, you'll start to laugh because
did you find it this afternoon or did you have it this morning?
I found this quote yesterday or the day before. Oh,
okay. So you needed, okay.
But yeah. I could have really used it this morning. So from St. Padre Pio, mm-hmm, don't spend your energies on things that generate worry, anxiety, and anguish. Only this is necessary. Lift up your spirit and love God.
Mm,
and you
beautiful.
Were there this morning, so mm-hmm, you know,
yeah,
how wound up, anxious, and anguished I was.
We all get, but together, don't we all get all those things? And I think I might even said to you during that time, don't worry, things will work out. God is helping us.
Have you
us.
Gotten the coffee maker out of your ear yet?
That was a decaf little call. No, but absolutely. Once again, Robert, that quote is so good.
Well, I'm trying to pour my beer here and you're asking me to read the quote. So from St. Padre Pio, don't spend your energies on things that generate worry, anxiety, and anguish. Only this is necessary. Lift up your spirit and love God. Beautiful. And I read that and I'm laughing at myself because, like I said, I was wound up tighter than a cuckoo clock this morning. Mm-hmm. But it also reminds me of one of our most recent, actually our most recent guest, Cardinal Collins, in one of his books that is a Lectio Divina on the Beatitudes. And there's the part in there where he contemplates where Jesus says, you know, don't worry about anything. Like, look at God. He looks after the mm-hmm sparrows. Aren't you worth more than sparrows? And he looks after the lilies of the field. Aren't you worth more than the lilies of the field? And Cardinal Collins, you know, so wise. And he says, we can't worry about anything that has happened in the past because mm-hmm we can't change it. And nor should we worry about anything in the future because 95% of it's never going to happen anyways. Mm. But isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
That we usually, every stuff that we worry about never comes to fruition.
Worry, anxiety, and anguish. Absolutely. Yeah. And we do that. Why do we do that? I think a lot of our lives is devoted to that. And you know what? If you just do the right thing or bear with the faith, I think we'll all, you know, you'll be fine. I don't think we can.
Punishment.
I just don't think we can change it by worrying and getting anxious and things, you know.
Dennis is chuckling there because I'm trying to lick the last drop of this like cathedral.
Maybe if I bought you more than two beers home, you wouldn't have to.
Well,
do
if
that.
You had maybe bought me 30 euros worth instead of 13, like we were going to do in the first place.
You're just lucky they got in the suitcase. The biggest worry when I got home, I unzipped that suitcase right away, and Paul had shoved socks in there and everything just to keep.
What is my suitcase going to smell like? Did these things explode?
I was just like, thank you, Lord, for getting it home intact.
Actually, Ellie saw the box and she said he put that in his suitcase. I said, I think he put a couple of those in his suitcase.
Yeah, we were taking one home for Matthew just because he's coming back and he's coming home in the summer. So we wanted to take another case. So we're lucky we had that extra case, Robert. Otherwise, it was getting left in Antwerp for Matthew to drink.
Oh, I'm glad it didn't get left there. That this cathedral, Derek, it is a beauty.
I know. And this blonde is so good.
Now, Dennis, buddy, do you know what time it is? It is time for what?
In the church?
Is that?
And now it's time for What in the Church Is That? Where Dennis tries to stump Robert.
And I had a couple last time, Robert, and you nailed that last one. Did we figure out if it was the Amis or the Amici? It was Amis. I had looked that up. Yes. And you nailed it too.
You had looked it up for us.
So I've got three today because I, you know what, Robert? Sometimes I get a little forgetful.
Just a little.
You know what? So we came, I came back and I was like, I said to a couple of teachers at school, I'm like, do you guys forget the names of a couple of kids? And I asked a couple of young teachers and they're like, no. And then I asked an older teacher, a little bit younger than us. And he's like, yeah. And I thought, okay. Cause I was remembering them, but I just couldn't get their names. That happened to you, right, Robert, before you retired?
All the time. If my students were not sitting in their seat in the classroom, forget it. I did not know their name. I could have taught them that morning. And if I met them in the hall in the afternoon.
Incredible. Yeah.
Right. If that's the way I remembered names, they had to be in their seats.
Isn't that funny? And now I remember, but it was sub names. I'm just thinking, wow. And a couple of colleagues who I was talking to some parents.
Do you remember your own name?
Yeah, I'm remembering my own name, but a couple of colleagues I just forgot. So, but they're not there anymore.
But in all fairness to you, at the school that where we teach, or I used to teach, and you're still teaching for a couple more months anyways.
Yeah.
With the number of retirements, the staff turnover, there's staff in there that you've probably worked with for 2 or 3 years. You probably have never even met them. So, So anyways, enough about your memory and you stalling about what in the church is that. What have you got for me today, sir?
Okay, I'll go with this one. And again, correct me if I've read it before, because I've got about three. So I'm certainly one of those will, but I'm running out of stuff, Robert. I may have to go into another realm. I may have to go into 13th century Antwerp Cathedral. What in the church is that? Just assumption.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough, is to start getting into some of the more obscure stuff. And maybe not just what's inside the physical church, but other aspects of the faith as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that maybe we can, certainly get into that. Once I retire, which I am at the end of the year, we can delve deeper into history, the beautiful history of the Catholic Church.
Okay, enough stalling, sir.
Okay, I have got what in the church is a credence table.
Credence table. Okay, number one, your memory is spot on. You haven't used that one before.
Oh, thank you.
Now, the credence table, I was talking about the credence table with
not
my
to be
first
confused with Credence Clearwater Revival, but go on.
Exactly. Exactly. Nothing wrong with a little CCR on a Saturday night, but
I think there's an extra E in the band, but go on, Robert. You were talking about
I was the... I was talking with the first communion class about this. Huh. The parents in the room actually didn't realize that that was what I was talking about. That when I was talking about the credence table, they actually thought I was talking about the altar.
Okay.
And they didn't realize they had the two confused.
You know what, Robert, just stop there for one sec, because I think there's a lot of things that are given names that we've done over the past couple of years naming that people don't realize, Catholics don't realize actually have names.
100%. And that's where this is so cool to do this segment.
Cool. It is cool.
That there are things that we see in the church all the time. And the credence table is something that if you're going to Mass regularly, you see the credence table all the time. You just 100%. Maybe don't know that it has a name.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? And so, there's the altar, which is the main table in the sanctuary, the table of sacrifice. That's why it's called an altar. That's where the sacrifice of the Mass happens. Mm-hmm. The credence table is a small table off to the side, right? And it's a table off to the side to just kind of hold the stuff that's needed for Mass. Usually there'll be the cruets on there, a finger bowl, like a little water bowl, a finger towel. After communion, if the ciborium, they're not going back in the tabernacle to reserve the host, if they're empty and they've been properly purified, they'll wait at the credence table. So it's kind of like a holding table, a table of service, a table where, the things that the altar servers are going to use to help Father with the Mass are kept. So things that are needed for the Mass, but are not necessarily needed on the altar are kept at the credence table. It's usually beside where the altar servers are. And I was an altar server all growing up. Well, let's say from the age of 9 to about 14, right. I would have used the credence table every mass I served at. I never knew it was called the credence table.
You know, we should probably have a little, should we have a little bell when you...
I have a little bell, but my microphone doesn't pick it up. I have a little bell that says ring for beer.
Yeah.
I tried that. I mean, I can ring it now, but...
Oh, you could... I heard a faint bell. Yeah, but absolutely right. Every time you get it right, we're going to give you that, Robert. You're 100% right, of course. A small side table used to hold the implements used in the Eucharistic celebration. 100%.
So the next time you're looking up at the sanctuary, you're looking at the altar, that little table that has all the things needed for Mass, but are not on the main altar, that's the credence table.
That's the credence table.
I know at my own parish right now, we don't have any altar servers. And so the credence table, you might not see it because it's kind of tucked right up beside the altar so that Father's not walking all over the place.
I've seen that before. Yeah, when there's no altar servers. Yeah.
Dennis, shout outs. I would give my shout outs, but you kind of already forced them out.
I know.
At the
well, no,
the
give them
today.
To you again because I kind of rushed you there. So your shout out wanted to be for all the RCA, the elect.
So for
is
the elect.
Correct?
So this show's coming out
great
on
shout
Easter
out,
Money.
Dennis.
So the, yeah. on Easter Money. This show's coming out on Easter
You're
Monday.
Giving me money?
That's that 7.7% Memento beer.
I thought
Memento
you were trying
Mori
to give me
because
money.
It's coming fast, right? But the RCA elect. Mm-hmm. Who, by the time this show comes out, will actually be brand spanking new Catholics.
That's so cool.
Right? So just a quick shout out to them for this journey, this courageous journey that they've been on with us since last October. And it's coming, I want to say it's coming to its beginning. It's the beginning of their new life. And, you know, to be one in the church, but then to continue that life on. And not just to the elect who are coming into the church this Easter, but also to the RCIA team.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself, Marty, Susan, Evis, right? Thomas.
Yeah.
Right? Our teaching core, and as well as the sponsors that stepped up to walk with these people.
Yes. You have assembled a great team, Robert. That's for sure.
It's been absolutely fantastic. It's been such a wonderful experience. So, and you know what? I'm saying that shout out to all the new Catholics out there, everyone who came into the church this past Easter that kind of finished their RCA and were baptized and confirmed into the church this past Easter. Shout out for them, a shout out for their sponsors, and a shout out for everybody who's run RCIA this year. It truly is such a blessing to be a part of that process.
And a shout out to you as well for organizing all this, Robert, yourself and Father Kevin, who's been a mainstay at the RCIA Tuesday nights, and of course, Father Chris, the pastor. But I don't think you really realize how much work one needs to get certainly this undertaking every single September and October, because it is a huge undertaking. And for 10 candidates to come into the faith, you're behind the scenes, Robert, and you did an amazing job. So kudos to you for putting everybody together and getting, I don't know, it just fit like a glove, like the sponsors and the team and the candidates. It's just, it was kind of seamless in the end.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, working. It is the
it
Holy
really
Spirit,
is, truly
isn't it?
Is
yeah.
The Holy Spirit at work. And, you know, you're saying that I would encourage, and we've said it a few times this episode, strongly encourage listeners out there to get involved in ministry. It could be RCIA, it could be other forms of ministry, but get involved in your parish, get involved in ministry.
And it's never too late, Robert. Like, you spoke to me at the beginning of the year and I said, you know what, I'd like to get involved in something. You know, I've gone to the church for 25 years and absolutely 100%. And I hope you don't have anything planned for me for
I've got
after
big
my
plans
retire.
For your retirement, buddy. Big, big plans for your retirement.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
So what's your shout out, pal?
My shout out was to I'm in Europe and I get this. By the way, did I show you all the photos of Europe?
No, but we don't have time here. Our listeners can't see the photos. So we'll
do
that
another time. But we need to sit down. we need to sit down so I can show you every single photo. Don't you hate that when people bring all these photos and you're like, do I have to release?
You're bringing all of your photo albums to Coffee Sunday tomorrow there, buddy?
Is it Coffee Sunday tomorrow? I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, it's Coffee Sunday tomorrow.
Oh, because I told Mrs. Coop that I'd pick her up at 9:30 to take her. So I got to text her and tell her 9:40 instead, right? Because when it's Coffee Sunday, I stay the extra 10 and then get her to church just in the nick of time.
I'm sure this is just absolutely fascinating our listeners.
For our listeners, yes. We have to give Mrs.
What's your shout out?
My shout out is to, I'm in Europe. I'm in, it's a couple days before
we leave.
You're
in Ajax right now, buddy.
But yeah, but I'm in Europe and I get my daughter, Kate, who's studying, you know that, the youngest at the university. Her friends are studying for exam, her two roommates. And one of the roommates, she sends a picture of her with our Pints and Pews podcast as she's studying for her exams at university. And there she is. She's listening to our podcast. So a shout out to Kate and her two roommates, Nina, who is listening to it, and Uma. So I just wanted to give them a quick shout out. And she managed to finish studying without falling asleep, Robert.
You know, we'll have to figure out something because we already have a shirt and a hat that's at Queen's University. We need to get some of the swag out
to Guelph. And you've said the same thing about Michael and his friends. They're listening as well. So I think really the younger generation is embracing it. And our demographic is certainly dropping. Probably the average age is about 21, 22 now. I'm
either
joking.
That or it's for the comedic factor. I have no idea.
Like, no, I think it's
the two old guys on the Muppets, right?
It's still, speaking of that, yes. No, I think it's still older, but it's good to see that. You know, there are some young people. I know Matthew, when we were talking to him in Antwerp, he was upset that he was waiting for that second part of Cardinal Collins and it was dropping a couple of weeks later. So he was anticipating that as well. So
patience is a virtue, Matthew.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dennis, buddy, even with all of these segues and kind of going down the wrong paths in our conversations, the time really seems to have flown by. And I would want to say my hourglass is just about empty. My hourglass is nowhere near empty because I'm taking my time to.
But it was only like 250 or 3. It wasn't even a full pint, Robert, and you're not.
So
even
you've
done.
Put your bottle down. Your glass is empty, but you've put your bottle. You probably got more in your bottle somewhere.
No, I don't. But look at that. Look at that beautiful I wanted to show you the beautiful residue of that beer.
It was a beautiful golden color in your glass. And this is a nice dark, I want to say mahogany color.
That is beautiful, yeah. Right.
Absolutely 3:30. Gorgeous.
But it's always a pleasure, Robert, both the pint and, especially the half pint today and the conversation.
It's always a pleasure to talk about our Catholic faith as well there, Dennis. And just before we wrap up here, perhaps there's just one small favor we could ask of our listeners.
If you could take a quick moment and a couple of clicks to follow us on the Pints and Pews podcast on your favorite platform, and give us a review.
While you're at it, give us a like on Facebook, drop us a line there, or at pintsandpews@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and on the platform formerly known as Twitter, both at pintsandpews, as we always enjoy hearing from our listeners.
Excellent. And don't forget to stop by catholicmoment.ca and peruse our swagware, caps, t-shirts, and of course, Robert's two books.
And finally, Dennis, why don't you remind our listeners of the wise words of G.K. Chesterton that appear on those t-shirts?
In Catholicism, the pint, the pipe, and the cross can all fit together.
God bless.
Take care, Robert.